It's big announcement time.
Drum roll, please.
We are going on tour.
Just, yay!
Northern News, live around the North.
Of course it's around the North.
We're not doing any Southern dates on this tour.
No way. We are going to the big ones, our big ones in the North. We're going Sheffield.
23rd of June.
We're going Hull.
26th of June.
We're going Leeds.
27th of June.
And we're rounding it off in Manchester.
On the 28th of June.
What a week.
Oh my God. We've done some live shows in Edinburgh and London. And we love them so much.
They're so much fun.
We do little fun headlines. There's slides. There's visuals.
Oh, it's brilliant. We can't wait to do it. And we can't wait to see you there. We'll see you in person. You'll see us in person.
You'll see our faces. You'll see whatever attempt at merch I've cobbled together in a shed.
So get your tickets now for the Northern News live tour at plosive.co.uk. That is plosive.co.uk.
We're going to get chunked out of our beans.
Let's do it.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
And welcome to Northern News, a podcast with me, Amy Gledhill.
And me, Ian Smith. I come from the northern town of Goole.
And you might be able to tell from my accent, I come from Hull.
And to our shame, we have been living in London now for ages.
Too long. And we want to catch up with all the news that's been going on up north. This is Northern News. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Northern News.
Hello!
Hello. Hello, and welcome. Take a deep breath.
Take a deep breath.
Let it out.
Let it out.
Let's get some news on the go.
Then take two breaths in.
Whoa.
Is that possible, actually?
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's a technique that I've been doing. The double
what
breath.
For? The double breath?
Yeah, you're meant to breathe in and then go at the top.
Last week you were talking about having double thoughts. You thought you were double thinking. Now you're double breathing, double thinking.
Yeah, I'm trying to get myself so I can be a complete other person as well as myself.
Yeah, yeah.
Ian, what have you been up to this week?
I booked tickets to see Daniel Bedingfield.
Oh! I love Daniel Bedingfield!
Do you want to come?
Are you kidding?
It's something like April 23rd.
Where's he playing?
He's playing at London Palladium.
I am 100% going to see Daniel Bedingfield.
I'll see where we've booked.
He's my favourite.
Is he really?
Yes.
So I bought his first album and I quite liked it. But then
I
it became
like it's perfect.
There are a lot of bangers on it. What's your favourite track?
You've got to get through this. You've got If You're Not the One.
Yeah, I don't like If You're Not the One. Too soppy for me.
Yes, too soppy.
I prefer
now,
his other stuff.
When
like,
you're a 15-year-old girl crying your heart out.
But what about Friday, James Dean, brackets
James
I want to know.
James Dean's the best one. I could be James Dean on the music scene. Oh, God,
yeah,
I love Daniel Bedingfield so much.
I thought, because he hasn't gigged in like 20 years, he's just been like, he's been in the wilderness. And he's come back and I was like, these are going to sell out fast.
Yeah.
These are going to sell out so fucking fast.
God.
So I booked tickets for me and two mates. And I think there's still tickets available.
£156.
That's to meet him.
You can meet Daniel Bedingfield.
I was like,
for
I can't do this.
£156.
Yeah, I'm excited.
I'm excited.
Yeah.
Bum, 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 bum.
I have
bum,
seen like
bum.
He'll beatbox at the drop of a hat. He did an interview on like Radio 4, and he's like they're talking about gotta get through this, and he just starts going. And he's like going mad. Something takes over him and he just sort of goes.
And it's the rhythm. The rhythm's taking over him.
But yes, I'm going to see Daniel Bedingfield.
Fuck.
But Amy, what have you been up to?
I know it's a long time ago, but I feel like my psyche was affected by the traitors to such an extent that now when I'm on a bus, and I get a seat, so for example, the other day I was sat downstairs on the, not the window seat, on the aisle seat of a bus, right? And it was a quite a full bus, but I got a seat. But I knew that were an elderly person to come on, I'm in the firing line.
Yeah.
I'm going to be voted off by the traitors to give up my seat.
Oh, okay.
But, plot twist, the person next to me with the window seat got up and got off the bus. I moved down to the window seat.
Yeah.
Somebody else sat in the aisle seat. And then I was like, whew, I'm safe for another day. Because now...
doesn't sound anything like the traitors.
No, but in my head, I'm like, I've avoided banishment for another night.
Yeah, but it's just got in your head so much.
But because then it's like, well, should an elderly person get on now? Surely it's the aisle seat people that must offer their seats first. And there's four of them before it gets to number five, me.
I'd watch that as a TV show. Everyone sat down and then someone that they need to sit comes on. And it's who's the last one to break, basically.
Yes.
Actually, I've said that out loud. I wouldn't watch that.
What?
That sounds awful.
Well, I've pitched it now. But also I've realised that on the bus, on this busy bus, somebody got off and the woman who sat by the window moved to the aisle seat, leaving a spare seat where the window was so nobody could sit down. And I honestly thought... I don't feel much anger, I've realised. Not in a good way. I think I've forgotten how to feel angry.
Yeah.
But I feel it swell up.
That's traitor behaviour.
I feel the rage swell up and I feel like saying, she's a traitor. She's a traitor. Let's vote her out. I'm going for you. And I get my board out of my bag and I write on the chalkboard. I say, that woman with the blue coat and an horrible bag. And I hold it up and nobody's joining in.
But if no one's joining in,
yeah,
she's got the most votes.
She's out.
Kick her off the bus.
So that's what I've been up to, both positive and lovely
busy
things.
Busy weeks for us.
Busy, busy weeks, busy, busy, busy weeks.
It's porridge time, Papa Bear.
But what's been going on up north?
Ian?
Yeah?
I put it to you that you have done illegal things.
Ian, no?
Ian, I put it to you, you, sir, are a criminal.
Oh, God.
Of the highest degree.
Well, this is horrible for me.
Yeah.
What have I done?
Well, the Bolton News did an article about the 10 bizarre UK laws that you may have broken.
Oh, God. Which one?
Well, I'm going to say you're going to prison for sure. Number one, have you ever eaten salmon?
Yeah.
Have you ever handled salmon?
I must have done.
Law one, handling salmon in suspicious circumstances.
Oh, I don't know if mine have been suspicious, so let me tell you. They've been... Governor! They've been restaurant settings or at home with a meal.
Tell it to the judge. The law was created to prevent any illegal activities within the salmon business. This law prohibits engaging in any suspicious circumstances while dealing with this particular species.
What would you say is a suspicious thing to be doing with a salmon, other than the obvious?
I think if you're holding a salmon and looking... Oh. I think if you're holding a salmon and looking in any way dodgy, you're going to prison for the rest of your life.
Really? Can't just look dodgy?
I think you're going to prison for the rest of your goddamn
Sometimes
life.
Sometimes in the supermarket, they sell like a whole salmon.
Yeah.
If you pick it up...
Yeah.
And then you're just thinking about something different and you're a bit suspicious. You're like, oh, I wonder if that... bloke works here who I don't really like, and then someone's just like, you look suspicious with that salmon.
You're nicked.
Citizen's arrest.
Throw away the key. That's all I'm going to be doing now. I'm going to dedicate my life to the salmon aisle.
Yeah, as soon as someone picks it up.
Yeah.
You got a suspicious look on your face?
Get down. Get down on the floor.
10 years. No parole. Sharing the cell with an arsonist. Got to tell him that you just held a salmon for a bit.
And even if I don't get you on that one, right, let me ask you this. You've got a rug.
Fucking hell.
Imagine you live on the ground floor. You've got a rug. It's got dirt on it. What do you do?
Well, I might either hoover it or I might get myself outside and give it a slap.
Yeah, you're going to prison.
Like in
you're
the
going
olden
to prison
days.
For the rest
what,
of your
for
life.
What, for rug slapping?
You're going to prison for the rest of your life, Ian.
Fucking hell.
Shaking your rug in the street.
Oh, no.
Shaking mats, carpets and rugs on the street is illegal.
I wasn't just shaking it, I was slapping it with a whole salmon.
Yeah, I think that's the death penalty.
Oh, God.
You've doubled it. You've done something suspicious with a salmon while shaking a rug outside.
Oh, no.
I've never met such an evil criminal as you.
There's 10 of these and I've done the first two.
First two, yeah. Did you ever have a kite? You ever had a kite?
Probably would have flown a kite at one point in my life.
Yeah, you're going to prison.
Fuck! Why?
You're going to prison. Flying a kite in a public space is illegal.
What, are you going to fly it in your house?
In order to prevent any nuisance and danger to people in public places, one of the most popular summer pastimes could technically get you in trouble with the police because of the Metropolitan Police Act 1839. No flying a kite in a public place, Ian.
Why was the kite invented if you couldn't fly it in a public place? Does everyone have gardens back then? Just the Queen with a kite and it's just her?
Objection, Your Honour. Where's this going?
That is probably the most common objection, isn't it? Objection, where's this going?
Where's this going?
Fucking hell, tighten it up.
I put this to you, right? You got a plank of wood.
Yeah.
And you need to take it to your neighbour's house.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, how would you do it?
Probably take the wood out.
Yeah.
Knock on their door.
Yeah, so... So what you're saying to me is you've carried planks of wood down a street. You're going to prison for the rest of your life.
Fuck me.
Yes. Dating back to the Middle Ages, it is prohibited to transport planks down the sidewalk unless you are intending to load them on a vehicle.
How'd you get a plank anywhere?
Fucking
hell.
Ian, I don't give a shit what you're thinking right now because you're in prison for so long. 4 out of 4, this is. And let me tell you, you think it's just planks of wood? No way. It includes casks, wheels, ladders and poles.
What's the point of living? You can't do anything in this world.
Here we go. You know, it gets cold in winter. There's ice on the streets.
Yeah.
You're walking. What might you do?
I wouldn't leave my house ever. I'd never leave.
Have you ever, like, slipped on ice?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. You're going to prison for the rest of your life.
Why?
It is considered highly dangerous, and the 1839 law still prohibits sliding down snowy and icy streets.
Fuck me.
I'm sorry.
The 1830s were shit.
Prison for the rest of your life.
Their prisons must have been rammed.
You ever been in a car?
Yeah.
Have you ever had a go on its horn?
Yeah.
Yeah, prison for the rest of your life, I'm afraid. Honking your horn aggressively.
I honked it nicely there.
How do I know that? Tell it to the judge.
But you've got to prove
Objection,
it as well.
Objection, Your Honour!
You can't just go, you murdered someone. No, I didn't. How do I know that? As far as I'm concerned, you might have murdered someone.
Objection, Your Honour. He's talking absolute battershack. It's not
this
a
guy's
word.
Talking battershack.
I just made up a new word, which I love so much.
Yeah. Sounds like a nice fish and chip restaurant.
He's
come to the batter shack.
Absolute batter shack. Have you ever gone in fancy dress as a police officer?
Oh, no, I haven't done that.
Have you ever dressed up in a school play as a police officer or anything like that?
No.
Bullshit. You're going to prison for the rest of your life. No, you're
I'm
not.
Doing
you get
right
off
now.
On that one. You're not allowed to dress up as a police officer or
Fair
a member
enough,
of the
actually.
Armed forces. I had to dress up as a police officer for a sketch.
Uh-oh.
On Comedy Central, and it was proper police stuff.
Yeah.
And we was out in the streets, and it was like, we had to be really careful because it's like, oh, what are you doing? If people think that you're the police,
yeah, yeah.
It is illegal.
Yeah. And what if someone gets like mugged and like, officer, help me? And you're just like, I'm doing a comedy sketch.
I'm an actor. I'm in character, you idiot.
Yeah.
You moron.
Oh, well, we can do the podcast in prison.
Yeah.
Together.
Well, we'll have to. Number eight, say you needed 10p for the phone.
Yeah.
You don't have any cash on you. But you're with me, your friend, and I've got loads of cash. What would you do?
Can I have 10p, please?
Yeah, you're going to prison for the rest of your life, I'm afraid.
Fuck
Asking
sake.
A friend for small change is part of the Vagrancy Act 1824.
Oh,
it's
God.
Illegal begging, Ian, for God's sake. Well, I know this one. Have you ever been drunk?
No.
Have you ever been drunk? drunk in a public place or a pub.
Probably, yeah.
Yeah, prison for the rest of your life. And number 10, I don't know if you've done this one, but just so everyone's aware, under the Treason Felony Act,
oh God,
placing a postage stamp upside down is goddamn illegal.
Probably will have done that.
See you all in prison. See you all in hell.
Man, what an uplifting story.
So that's what's been going on. That's what the story I brought.
Everyone listening now,
yeah,
just probably shivering,
yeah,
looking out the windows. Any siren that they hear in the distance, yeah, like, they're coming for us! Because we don't have any blank of wood next door!
Everyone listening, all the listeners are now fugitives, all on the run.
Yeah.
Tell you where you should run to. The London Palladium. See Daniel Bedingfield. And you're going to get through this.
I've got a story which I think it links to crimes.
Oh, yeah.
But listen, it's one of those stories that for a podcast is, and I don't like this phrase, but I must say, entirely visual.
Perfect. Perfect.
And it's a bit of fun because basically people have put out a police photo fit,
oh, yeah,
of the suspect. And the headline is, people think this police suspect looks like an alien. The photo fit they've done, they're like, that's a fucking alien.
Oh, dear.
So this guy, and we'll go from your reaction, Amy. How? Mm. I think it looks human. What are you thinking? It looks a bit like an alien.
Wow. It looks like a very smooth Richard O'Brien,
yes,
in his prime.
But with a blue hue to
the with a rainbow hue to his under eyes and cheeks.
Yeah, it's got like a rainbow head.
He's got a rainbow head. It's elongated.
Mm.
And I would say bulbous at the top.
Yes.
Much like an alien.
Oh, the little caption under here.
Yeah.
The suspect has been compared to an alien, E.T., and Richard O'Brien from Crystal Maze.
Hey!
Maybe it's Richard O'Brien.
Well, he's looking absolutely fantastic if it is. Good for
yeah
him.
The bizarre computer-generated image shows... I don't know why this is... Right, this doesn't sound bizarre. But just, the bizarre computer-generated image shows a man with no hair, brown eyes, and light facial hair around his mouth. The bizarre image.
That is bizarre. Brown eyes, you say? Yeah, whoa,
that
whoa
makes it sound entirely normal. Oh... However, colourful areas around okay the eyes and cheeks have spread widespread ridicule.
Right.
Another comparison is Voldemort
okay
from the Harry Potter series.
Okay.
Unfortunately for Lincolnshire Police, social media users are commenting on the conspicuous features of the E-fit rather than the crime he's wanted for. So rather than being like, we should look out for this guy, they're just like, doesn't he look funny? Phil Maddox said on Facebook, looks like an alien from Doctor Who.
Wow, Phil gets it.
Classic. Alex Rhodes, alluding to the Crystal Maze, said, suspect last seen in the industrial zone.
Very good.
It's good stuff.
That's very good. Aztec zone would also
yeah
be funny.
Aztec is a funnier word than
yeah
industrial, I think.
But industrial is just slight. I think Aztec is the first zone you think of.
Yeah.
Industrial's a bit further down the pack.
Mm.
So I think that's slightly funnier.
Yeah.
Do you know, when I worked at the Crystal Maze Experience in Manchester, there was a few teams where they'd get so few crystals, sometimes no crystals, we'd get to the crystal
oh
dome
no
at the end. And, like, obviously they've paid for the experience. Mm. We can't say you can't have any seconds. So we'd be like, okay, you can have, like, 15, 20 seconds,
yeah,
which is, like, four crystals or whatever. And sometimes they were just like, bless them, but they were just so bad. And they'd get no tickets at all, or like a few tickets. And you have to put everyone's number comes up on the leaderboard. And, you know, there'll be people who would be like, the Smashers got, you know, 526 tickets. And then it'll be like, the Dudley family, one ticket. And it's just so sad. Oh, it used to absolutely break my heart. And then they get a picture at the end.
It's
and sometimes
sad.
It's just so really sad. No crystals, one fucking ticket. Oh, my God.
One of the family looks like an alien.
Yeah.
They got a blue hue around their eyes, actually.
bizarre. You look bizarre. You've got no hair, brown eyes, and facial hair. It's weird.
I can't get my head around that.
It's making me feel weird.
A few more comments.
Yeah.
Evie Atterby said, why does he look like an alien? If Lynx police find him with this, it's a miracle. I'd say it's not, because it's quite a distinctive-looking guy.
If he does look like that, it wouldn't be a miracle. But if he looks like, not like, if he does look not like an alien and they do find him.
And in reality, you actually had, you got a full head of hair. Yeah. You'd be like, great.
Or you just didn't have rainbow-hued skin. You'd be like, oh, thank God for that AI.
Looking in the mirror. I don't have rainbows on my head.
Oh, I'm okay.
You would first be concerned, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
If you were a criminal and you've had your photo fit, you'd be like, oh, come on. I have a rainbow skin. I don't understand some of these. Scott Lomax said, oh dear, have they taken on someone during the school holidays to make this?
Yeah.
I think they're implying a child has made it. But even a child, that's an accomplished CGI
face.
I'd be
very impressed with that.
Yeah.
I'd be over the moon if I made that as a child.
Yeah.
I used to draw Tommy from Rugrats, which is quite similar. No hair.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
You probably could have done this.
And no, but I was bad. Oh. I was always bad. I'm so bad at art. If I'd have made that and said it was Tommy from Rugrats, even though that looks like Richard O'Brien, I'd still be over the moon.
It looks like what Tommy from Rugrats would look like now.
Oh, my God.
Like grown up.
Oh, I wonder what Tommy from Rugrats is doing now.
Someone on the internet will have done that.
There is an episode where they're grown up, I think.
Well, it just says here, Tommy Pickles. Who's he?
Tommy Pickles. Tommy from Rugrats. Pickles.
Oh, they did a series where he's a bit more grown up.
I'm Tommy fucking Pickles.
Tommy Pickles. Tommy Pickles from Rugrats. Tommy Pickles. he's fallen on hard times. Tommy Pickles.
Oh, my God.
Anyway, so loads more comments. Again, someone's saying it looks like He-Man. The Force agreed the image was unusual, but did kind of reiterate, we hope it will help find the suspect. So, there's a man out there, could even be listening to the pod, going, that's me.
Turn yourself in.
This was from 2017. You've been on the run for 6 years now. You're exhausted. Your rainbows are fading. Do the right thing. Listen, as soon as this episode's done, I'm handing myself into the police for the 8 crimes I've committed.
Good.
And you should do the same.
Yes, I'm definitely going to. You go first and then I'll definitely do it.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself
and for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
There's no filling in me pie.
Hi, team. Do us a little favour, will you? And check out the Northern News Patreon. See if there's a tier that tickles your fancy.
It starts at just £2.50 a month. That's next to nothing a week. I don't know what the maths is, but it can't be much.
You can get bonus episodes, discounts for the live shows.
You get little videos of us if you want to have a look at our faces.
Little videos. We're thinking about merch. We're thinking about reporting tiers.
It's all kicking off over on Patreon. And if you join, it really does help us keep making this and it supports the pod. And we will be forever in your debt if you like that sort of thing.
Please get over there. Patreon.com/Northern News.
You say bridge.
And now it's time for our special guest, Ian Stirling from Edinburgh, a city that is affectionately nicknamed Old Reeky. Ian, what's the worst you've smelt in your life, do you reckon?
I reckon now's pretty high up there.
Oh, really?
Talk us through it.
Late last night, met a friend from Edinburgh, Old Reeky, in town for a swift one, and then I was up for the nursery run, so shower has been eliminated from that routine.
Oh, no.
And I'm now back in bed with jeans on, which feels disgusting when you get into bed with jeans on.
It is weird, isn't it?
Into bed with jeans on, it feels gross.
Yeah.
So that may be the worst I've spent. Or that time I fell in sheep's dip. One of the two.
Oh
no.
What is a sheep dip?
Sheep's dip. It's like, I think it's like a vat of sheep's mess, I think.
Oh, is it? Oh. I thought it was like a lovely sheep bath.
I thought sheep's dip was a sort of like a small basin with coloured dye, and that's how you got the colour on their back.
You're yes. Like, you dunk them in.
But yeah, but you don't dip a sheep dip in a, don't dip a sheep in sheep's dip. That's I live my life by that phrase, actually.
Well, you've heard it here first. Don't dip a sheep in sheep dip.
Yeah, it's very rare a guest comes on with their own unique tongue twister.
Yeah. I made it sound more difficult than it actually was.
Yeah, for some people, everything's a tongue twister, isn't it?
That's a very good point, actually. Yeah.
This is very profound for this early in the morning. Yeah, I just say the Ians are coming in deep today?
Good luck keeping up with this, Amy. And my other fact about you, Ian, that we've talked about a lot is that we both auditioned to be a CBBC presenter.
You, was it not me and you were the final two?
Really?
Oh, I don't know, but I know that choice would have been very simple.
you said paedophile jokes in CBBC auditions.
To be fair, I wasn't far off. It was a picture of a kid had drawn, and I said it looked like a cucumber with a condom on.
Oh, Ian.
I thought I did all right.
But then you did, but I remember they had a script for you to do with this puppet. Do you remember we did it? Do you remember what puppet we did it with?
No, but I remember looking at the man under
the
desk.
What do you mean you don't remember? When I tell you what we did it with, it's insane you don't remember that.
Really? What? Was it green?
No, it was called Dunstan the Brain. It was a floating brain.
Oh, really? Yeah, I don't remember that.
It was a floating brain. And here's an interesting fact, because you after the audition process, so it was like me, you, and a couple of others, and I got the job, but the audition tapes got sent to head of CBBC. And to give you an idea of how well the audition process went, the brain that had the job, so he was the presenter, and basically, long story short, I got the job, but the head of CBBC watched the audition tapes and went, yeah, get rid of that brain, it's insane. So the presenter that had a job lost his job as a result of me and you auditioning with him.
No.
And then I was meant to write a script. You might have written one as well. And then I said, I've not written one. And they went, I don't really know. Also, I was at uni, I don't really know how auditions worked. And they went, oh, well, do you want like 15, 20 minutes to write something? I went, nah.
Ian, how bad was Ian Smith? How bad was your audition?
Sterling's
like, I'm not going to take part in that bit. That sounds wank.
I spent weeks preparing my script for me and the brain in the tube.
Sitting there night after night. Does it look like a cucumber with the condom on or off? What will resonate with the children better? I can't mess this up.
Moving on ever so slightly from children and condoms, do you have a story from the north that you could share with us?
I was going to go my fair old town of Edinburgh.
And it is north, to be fair.
More north than England in many ways. Mm. From Edinburgh. And it revolves around a little dog by the name of Grey Friars Bobby.
Oh, yes.
For those that don't know, there was a little Scottish dog. His owner died. The dog then waited outside the graveyard every day after his owner's death until the dog also died. So they erected a little bronze statue in the dog's honour. And now the more modern-day controversy is the council have now banned you from rubbing the dog's nose because the brass is wearing...
Really?
Yeah, but this is the real controversy is as follows. It is believed that the statue is obviously meant to face the graveyard to symbolise the dog waiting for his owner to come out of the graveyard and never happen. Mm. But if you've both done the festival, think to that dog. The dog is not facing.
Oh no,
it's got his back
the graveyard.
To it.
Yeah,
it's facing out into the street. Ooh. Do you know why?
Why?
No. The theory is, urban legend states that the pub, the Greyfriars Bobby pub, paid off the council to have Bobby spun around, and now when tourists take pictures of the little brass statue, they're pubs in the back of the shop.
Oh!
Bastards!
Wow!
Because I don't know how statues work, but I assume the ghost of the dog is in the statue.
Yeah.
It is, yeah. No, that's exactly how statues work, yeah.
And now it's like
that's exactly what it is.
Yeah, yeah, 100%.
Yeah, did you study that?
Yeah.
How did you know that?
Well, history GCSE. Yeah, yeah. Nelson's scared of heights.
But he's up there.
He don't love being on that column.
No.
You can hear him at night. Fucking hell!
David's just got a really itchy arse crack all the time. It's quite grim. It's quite grim if you think of statues as just sort of souls trapped forever on the outside.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. That's awful, actually. I feel quite sad inside.
I hope I never get a statue made of me. But what I will say is, I doubt that's going to happen. I reckon you've got a chance at a statue.
Definitely.
Well, do you know, I don't think a statue, but do you know, I'd love a bench. I want my name on a... I know those names on... You see the names on a bench?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd love my name on a bench. I always read the bench. I'm a bench reader. I don't know about you guys. I love a... I am. And then I always feel like I get really melancholic, actually, when I'm sat on a read a bench. Mm. When you're a little read of a bench and you just go, oh, Claire died 10 years ago.
So, do you think this is true, the old Greyfriars?
I think it is, because why would you make a statue that is... The dog is literally only famous because it waited outside a graveyard for its owner. So why is it not facing the graveyard? It makes absolutely no sense.
Or even in the graveyard.
Mm.
Why is it not in the... Why is there not a statue in the graveyard?
But I suppose if you've got loved ones buried in the graveyard, you don't want tourists coming in rubbing a dog's nose right next to where your nana's buried.
No, rubbing a nose, reading the bench, just causing like, all sorts of nonsense.
Yeah. Ian, you're going on tour.
I am possibly on it now, depending on what people's listening habits are.
And how's it
but
going?
Yeah, very exciting. Oh, it's been an amazing tour. I've had a statue erected in my honour in Lincoln, actually. It's just me staring at the Lincoln engine shed, but they're going to spin it around at some point, I reckon.
Are you going to lots of northern places?
Oh yeah, you betcha I am. I'm doing the lot. I'm doing a Sheffield. I'm doing a Lincoln.
Yeah.
I'm doing a Newcastle.
Yeah.
Yeah. Leeds.
I'm doing a York. I'm doing a Hull. I'm doing a Leeds.
Yeah.
Okay, that's them all.
Hull. If you want to come and you've got 800 friends, feel free to come on down.
I'll send my mum.
The biggest venue I'm doing on tour is in Hull.
Lovely.
I've played the room you're playing in, supporting Lucy Beaumont. It's,
oh,
a, it's
yeah,
a lovely room.
What do you mean? Do you mean hero of Hull, Lucy Beaumont? Meanwhile, I've been rocking up, having been there twice in my life.
Is it City Hall? Hull City Hall you're doing then? Yeah, big old room actually, isn't it?
It's fucking massive. It's actually wild.
The 27th of April, if you live in Hull or know anyone who lives in Hull, for the reputation of this podcast, you've got to go.
And I guess you're not doing a Ghoul date, so Ian, everyone that you know in Ghoul should travel to Hull,
everyone
right?
From Ghoul, 27th of April. It's only a 30-minute drive.
Yeah, it'll be sold out after this, for sure.
I feel like I want to give you a weekly update of percentage of where
that.
I'm at. And then when I play it, I'll send you a picture. I just laughed. Oh, I've just got the image. All the comedians that get that big, like, picture of them, like, facing out the back, and all the crowd are in the background.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
just,
yeah.
And a family from Ghoul.
Well, that's the power this podcast has.
Oh my gosh.
Well, we look forward to them updates.
Yeah.
I can't wait.
Do go see Ian on tour. He's very funny.
Oh, fantastic. Well, it's been lovely to speak to you. Thanks for sharing.
Lovely
your
to
story.
Speak to you both. I'm a big, big fan of first, long time listener, first time caller. So
lovely.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you.
Good luck with the rest of the tour, especially Hull. And we'll speak Thank to you soon.
Cheers, guys. Goodbye.
Cheers. Bye.
Bye.
My favourite mode of transport, a gravy boat.
May I tell you what's been happening in Hull?
Yes.
A star of Married at First Sight. Did you ever watch that?
No. I'm aware of the concept.
Okay, so Married at First Sight, two people who've never met before are matched together by matchmakers. They get married, Ian,
what,
if you can believe it.
Sight?
Yes, at first
Fucking
sight.
Fucking hell, I get that part of it.
Yes, but that's just the beginning, Ian.
Okay.
And then they live together as a couple in the experiment, which is very like 1984 kind of weird. But they live, they all have an apartment in this, like, I guess, like block of flats.
In the same complex.
Uh-huh. And they live together. They go on honeymoon, then they live together. And periodically they meet in with the experts and they check in. And the experts go, how are you having sex? Kind of thing, basically. That's what they do. And some of them are like, yeah, definitely from the first day. And some of them are like, no, we've not quite got there yet. And you can tell it's like they're both mortified because they don't fancy each other at all.
Yeah.
But anyway, that's the show.
And are they legally married?
No, surely not. Mm. But they do the ceremony and everything. And they wear wedding rings and they call each other husband and wife, which is, you know, I quite enjoy the programme. However, in the last series, there was a contestant called Brad Skelly, who was one of the more controversial contestants on the show. And he actually got kicked off in the end because, they thought him and his partner were in a bit of a toxic relationship.
Well, this is an interesting article from you so far.
Well, he was a big character on this show, right?
Yeah.
He's covered head to toe in tattoos.
Ooh.
He believes in like the universe has got a plan
what?
For you.
Oh.
Yeah, yeah. He believes
in the universe.
Yeah. He thinks there's a sun and a moon. The idiot.
This guy's
he's
toxic.
He's very like spiritual, and his brand of toxicity is very like, you know, when people use like therapy language back on someone. Yeah, he's like a really modern toxic man.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like uses like feminism and like, oh, I think you should talk. But saying that means that.
He's a very modern feminist toxic guy.
but it's a different type of, it's that sort of underhanded,
yes,
like weeds growing out around the partner and slowly bringing them down. Anyway,
fucking hell.
He's been spotted now working in Savers store in Grimsby.
Here we go.
Here we go.
I was wondering where the positive side of this had gone.
Here we go. So I didn't, because he's got one of them voices, you know, when some people northern but do yoga, they have a different voice.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Where it's like earthy northern.
Mm. I'm going to yoga.
Downward dog poo bins. I don't know.
Downward dog poo bins is hard. That's hard pose.
That is upside down dog poo bins.
Yeah.
Try and hold that and breathe. It's very difficult, actually. But I think it's quite exciting to find out, you know, like what people who aren't necessarily like celebrities but who are very recognizable when you see them in a shop. There was a band that I used to love and went to see them when they played in Hull, like absolutely loved them. And then I knew they were from Brighton, and one day I was in, I think it was like a Curry's in Brighton, and there was this guy who I held up as like a rock and roll hero. And he's there in his little Curry's polo neck t-shirt, and you're like, oh yeah, of course, because. And we know that, like, people that you see on TV and stuff, I always presume that they're all millionaires.
Mm.
But actually, like, not at all. At all.
I remember someone commenting on, after doing an episode of the news quiz, they commented, and we were talking about, it was something to do with, like, tax or whatever, and they were basically saying, like, well, that's rich coming from a panel of people who'll all be in the highest tax threshold.
Oh, my God.
Like, how much do you think we get paid to go on Radio 4 for half an hour?
Yeah.
But they're thinking, like, these are all the richest people on the planet.
I can tell you now, my first TV appearance and the first time I was nominated at Edinburgh, I was on Universal Credit.
Mm.
and still on not now, but then was on Universal Credit, and you get an email to say you've been nominated at the Edinburgh Fringe, and it came after an email saying that my benefits were stopped, because obviously I said to them, I'm going to the Edinburgh Fringe, and I said, and they said, well, we'll have to stop your benefits because you can't come in and you're not looking for work. And I was like, I know, I get it, but I sort of am looking for work because I'm trying to be a comedian as a job, and that this is where I can do it. But obviously they were like, no way. So I was like, okay, fine. So I went to Edinburgh, like no money, knew I'd have less money when I came back. But then people are like, God, you must be a millionaire.
Yeah, and as we've said in a previous episode, if you Google both of our net worth, it is over 1.5 million.
Well, yeah.
But I think that's also true if you Google your net worth. Yeah. If you're listening, Google anybody's your net worth.
I've never seen anybody's net worth less than a mil.
Yeah.
And while we're talking about this, do sign up to the Patreon.
Oh, yes. If you've got 1.5 million net worth or more, and Google yourselves, you have.
You definitely have.
I reckon.
So there you go. So, Brad Skelly.
Fuck off, I'm trapped.
What's been happening in Ghoul?
So, the horror has returned.
Uh-oh.
Ghoul potholes.
No.
There have been a call for repairs to a damaged road, and I'm looking at a picture of this road. It's Marlborough Avenue. It's tatty.
There's a Marlborough Avenue in Hull as well.
I think legally has to be a Marlborough Avenue in every
To be a city,
every town.
You have to have a Marlborough Avenue.
Yeah.
Ghoul's not a city.
No, but...
Sorry for rubbing that in. We have had that conversation.
It's got everything we need. A Marlborough Avenue.
Yeah.
And a big swimming baths.
Yeah.
But yeah, the pothole repairs on a road in Ghoul are not a good enough standard. Also, these potholes have been repaired.
Shut up.
These have been repaired, but I'm telling you, they don't look repaired to me. They look like they've been filled in with a bit of Play-Doh.
Do you know what that looks like? Do you know if you bake like a not a cake, but like a... Like a not a tart, like a.
Just gonna go through everything. not a crumble.
Not a crumble.
And not a pie.
Do you know when? Yeah, like a sort of cake, like a banana. It looks like banana bread.
Yeah.
You know when banana bread rises and then in the middle at the top
it cracks.
A bit. It looks like that.
It looks like the crack of a banana bread.
Tell me about it.
So residents of Marlborough Avenue want the entire road resurfaced. Rather than having individual potholes filled, one resident said she's had to replace her car tyres a number of times due to damage. An East Riding of Yorkshire Council said future maintenance programme would take account of the current state of Marlborough Avenue. All right, thank you. Conservative councillor Nick Cultish is a little bit culty.
He's a little bit culty, yeah.
Said the road service there had reached the end of its life and he wanted proper repair work to be undertaken. I've had lots of pothole reports on this street, and it is a particularly bad one. Yeah, so he's doing his bit.
He's trying.
He's trying to get them fixed. He added, maybe rather than hundreds of pounds, maybe it needs thousands of pounds of repair.
Well, that seems sensible. If you can't get hundreds of pounds, why not get thousands of pounds?
Yeah, rather than hundreds of pounds. I'll tell you what I'd like to spend on this road. Thousands. And ideally, millions. If you give me the money, I'd like to spend millions of pounds on this one road. What are you going to do with that? Gold leaf in the tarmac is what I want to do with it.
I know we don't have hundreds of pounds. I'm not asking for hundreds of pounds. I'm asking for millions of pounds.
I mean, I'd love to see that. I'd love to see all the budget for the year for Ghoul go on one road.
Because of someone being petty. Attraction. Someone being like, all right, yeah, fine. There we go. I've signed it now. The whole budget's gone to that fucking road.
Yeah. Marlborough Avenue, complaining again. Well, you got £2.3 million.
And all the schools are shut.
You happy
well
with that?
Well done. Well done. Hospital's shut. Well
no
done,
hospital,
Marlborough
but
Avenue.
You've got your golden road. Maybe that would stop people complaining in the future.
Yeah, you'd shut your mouth, wouldn't you? Because you'd be like, look, if we say out about this pothole.
Yeah. That'd be my catchphrase as a, like, counsellor. Gold road, shut your mouth. Oh, we could do with more car parking space in the hospital. Gold Road, shut your mouth. Is that what you want? Next year, you want more car parking spaces, but they're all made out of gold? Or do you want nothing? Well, probably nothing then. All right, thank you. Fucking hell.
Next.
Can I get on with my job now? And one woman said she was worried about further damage to her car. She said, it's very bad because it's repair on repair, ooh, but not a full street repair.
Yeah, you can't just keep repairing the same old thing. Some days it's going to just give up.
You've had a bleak old vibe about this episode.
I'm so sorry.
Some days it's just going to give up.
Do you know what it is? It's because I've stopped drinking caffeine.
Yeah, I'm trying to do that a bit less. Caffeine?
I've not had any caffeine and I feel like it's the middle of the night.
Yeah. I'm trying
and
to stay off.
Someone's woke me up and gone, come on then, do a podcast. And I'm thinking, well, is there any point if we don't have gold roads?
Yeah, gold bus, getting on your gold bus.
Getting on my gold bus to Grimsby to see Brad.
But yeah, that's my ghoul tale.
A lovely tale of...
For you.
Of broken tyres and misery.
Yeah.
That's a good name for like a book or something about
broken
Marlborough
Avenue. Broken tyres and misery.
Yeah.
Hell, Amy. I've just got back on the caffeine.
You know, it could be called Broken Ties and Misery, The Days Before the Gold Road.
Mm-hmm.
It's a film. If it's anything, it's a film.
So, thank you very much for listening.
Thank you so much for listening. May your potholes forever be smoothed over and properly fixed.
I'd love you to give us a tweet or a comment and let us know what problem in your town you'd like to be replaced with gold.
No, listen, there's things to do. There's things that you need to do. You need to follow us on Instagram.
That'd be lovely.
Takes a second. Leave us a lovely review. Gosh.
Oh, yes.
And you realise how helpful they are. They're very helpful.
Yes, they
boost it.
And they're
so nice to read when people say, oh, I listen to this when I'm doing this. Or it's just lovely. Yeah. That would be great. And thank you to our special guest, Ian Stirling.
Go and see him on tour, in Hull especially, on his Relevant tour.
That's the name of his tour.
Yes.
Not just that it's relevant for the podcast, but it is relevant for the podcast.
It's relevant to us because we're plugging it.
Yeah.
But it's also called Relevant.
Yeah.
Have you ever heard of Love Island?
Love Island?
Could be Love Island,
yeah,
yes.
Yeah, I've heard of Love Island,
but Ian does the voiceover for that.
Oh, we should have got him to say tonight.
I've never watched Love Island, to be fair. And that's not... I'm not trying to slam Ian here.
Oh.
But because I think if I started watching stuff like that, it would take over my life.
It does. Yeah, it does. But sometimes it's a blessed relief.
Yeah.
Anyway, go see Ian's tour show, April the 27th in Hull and also lots of places in the north and elsewhere. And number three, if you haven't already, sign up to our Patreon for a little bit of extra stuff.
It's good stuff.
It is good stuff. I really enjoy them. One Patreon, we laughed so much, I had to leave the studio because I thought I was going to be sick.
I was worried that I was going to do a fart because I was laughing. I couldn't control my bowels.
So do sign up. And we'll see you again next time for more Northern News.
Bye.
Goodbye.
Hello, everyone. It's Ian Smith here from Northern News, the podcast you are currently listening to. And I'm here to tell you that I'm recording my multi-award-nominated solo show, Crushing, on Tuesday the 4th of June at the Pleasance Theatre in London. But I'd love to see some Northern News listeners there. We're recording this show. It's going to live online forever. So the more supportive a crowd, the better. Hope to see you there.